Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. I have two brothers. One is about 2 years older than me, and the other is about 4 years younger. The truth is that when we were growing up, there were times when we all just got along great. And then there was the one time when me and my older brother tied my younger brother to the tree. That's the way brotherhood works, right? Sometimes you get along, sometimes you don't. Sometimes we'd support each other, and sometimes we'd tear each other down. Sometimes I let my brothers take the fall for something I had done, and other times I had to take the fall for something they did. And as I reflect on my relationship with my brothers in the present day, I wish I could tell you that everything is perfect now. But it's not. All right, sometimes I'll drive them crazy, sometimes they'll drive me crazy. But the truth is that when it comes to me and my brothers, I know that if I ever needed them, they'd be there in a moment. If I really needed them to be around, they would be there. Because that's what brothers do. Brothers. That is the way that God inspired Paul to begin this section of Galatians. And while the word brothers really when we read through Galatians, it just kind of seems like one of these words that Paul's just throwing out there. Like, I have to address these people somehow, but really this entire text takes on a whole new meaning when you understand why he's addressing the Galatians as brothers. It's an indication that Paul knows these people very, very well. They're part of this family of faith. They're all brothers together, or granted, if you're a lady, sisters. And this truth is the same for us here in Chestnut. We're all part of a church. We're all part of Zion Lutheran Church. We just heard the Apostles' Creed. All of you sitting next to each other in these pews confess that, yes, you believe in God the Father, you believe in the Son, you believe in the Holy Ghost, you believe that this God who's revealed himself in a Trinity is your God. It makes you brothers and sisters in Christ. And so, assuming that you are brothers and sisters, it's important to understand that this text is an explanation of how we should act towards one another in God's family. First, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. The desire to sin, temptations, disregarding God's word, these things happen even in the family of faith over and over and over again. They're this reality that we just can't get out of because of our sin. And the truth is that it means we need each other. We need our brothers and sisters to be there, to be our keeper. That if somebody is erring, or if somebody is believing wrongly, or if somebody even fades out of our midst, we need to recognize that. We need to understand that, and we need to bring them back. Bring them back to the truth of God's word. Bring them back into the company of the church. Take all of this evil that is going on in the world and keep each other accountable. That way we can all come to this altar and have our sins forgiven. To recognize Jesus as Savior, to confess that we do believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That way we can all be together in unity. In fact, you do your fellow Christian a great disservice if you let them continue in their sin, or let them fade out of our midst without ever saying anything. So, brothers and sisters, restore one another in a spirit of gentleness. But so often for us too, it's very easy for us to see others sin, which is why Paul continues. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We too are tempted, and while I can point out people's sins really well, because they're all too apparent to me, it's very hard to see my own sin. And in fact, when somebody comes and exposes your sin, what's the first thing we do as sinners? We put up the walls. Our pride shows its ugly face. What do you mean? Who are you to convict me of my sin? We forget that our brothers and sisters are simply here to restore us in a spirit of gentleness. That way we can all kneel before the altar and receive the forgiveness of our sins. And so instead of getting angry or entering into despair in situations where sin is exposed, allow every sin to be an opportunity to join with your family, to get together with your brothers and sisters and live in the forgiveness of Jesus, the forgiveness that he wants his church to value so dearly. But Paul's not done. Next, dear brothers and sisters gathered here, we hear, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. We tend to try to mock God. Another one of those qualities we have because of the sin in our life. We convince ourselves that, well, if I just commit some little sins, those aren't such a big deal. Or this sin might affect me, but it certainly won't affect anybody else. We live our lives as if sin doesn't have any repercussions. Except, that's not in Scripture. Every sin has repercussions, each and every one. In fact, every sin that we commit, even the really small ones, they're deserving of hell. That's where we belong. And yet we are able to deceive ourselves because we know that Jesus takes our burden. So we convince ourselves, well, it's not a big deal if I go ahead with this sin because I know Jesus' sin or forgiveness will be there for me anyway. I can do whatever I want because forgiveness is there all of the time. And it's true, it is. But know that your sins aren't free. There's no such thing as free sin. Every sin has to be paid for. And while you might not be the one paying for it, Jesus is. It cost him dearly to win this forgiveness for you. And so how much do we mock God if we convince ourselves that, oh, well, the little sins that put Jesus up on the tree, they weren't that big a deal. God will not be mocked. Sin has a very, very expensive cost. It's the precious blood and suffering and death of your Savior. So don't just brush sin under the rug. Don't pretend that it doesn't exist because Jesus is carrying them all. And finally, dear brothers and sisters, let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. There's been a lot in this sermon about sin and about how to keep each other accountable, and the truth is that this is hard. Paul recognizes that. God recognizes that. This isn't easy. And in fact, as this war wages within our mind, within our bodies every day, listening to our sinful selves or listening to the Holy Spirit that is within us, sometimes the battle is exhausting. You mean I got to wake up every day and fight not to be this poor, miserable sinner that I am? Yeah. That's part of being a brother or sister in the faith. We're all in these trenches together. And the best news is that even as we battle, even as we keep each other accountable, and it might be uncomfortable, even as we continue through this sin-filled world supporting each other, the battle's still being fought. But the war is already won. Jesus made that promise. That's what his cross was all about. He's already won the war. He's already promised to put away all of our enemies. He's going to put away our sin. He's going to put away our death. He's going to put away all of the strained relationships that we have. He's going to do away with all of it. But in the meantime, we're still here, living between life and death, living between sin and holiness. Don't give up. Don't give up the faith. Don't give up the fight. But the only way we can do that is if God helps. And so he does. He helps by putting you into this family, putting you into this church. You have brothers and sisters sitting right next to you right now. They'll care for you. They'll lift you up when you need lifted up. And honestly, when you're lifted up in your own pride, they'll pull you back down. God has given us a church in which we can receive forgiveness, in which we can be certain of eternal life, in which salvation is a guarantee. So come, rejoice in the gifts that Christ gives you even today. This morning, know that you live in the family of faith. Know that your sins are forgiven because of Jesus' death and resurrection and because he shed his blood for you. Come here. In fact, next week it'll be on the altar. We'll have the Lord's Supper in your mouth to strengthen your faith and give you that forgiveness that you need to carry on the fight. Remember who you are, because in your baptism, God has called you his child. My friends, if we continue in these promises, the battle's already won. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.